is KPOO, San Francisco. Bye, 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 bye.
Shiba, shiba. Shiba, shiba. Shiba, shiba.
Let me in.
Shiba, shiba.
I want to be closer to you.
Shiba, shiba.
Open up your soul.
Shiba, shiba.
Let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your love.
Oh, why don't you let me in? Let me be the first to ever touch your mind.
Hello. Welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. One of the things that I realize when I do this show is that there are a lot of musicians who do interviews and they put them on their CDs. And because we largely play music, you rarely get to hear that interview unless you possess the CD. And I wanted to mix it up a little bit. So Big Mama Thornton was amazing, and I was lucky enough to see her back when she toured the Bay Area so long ago. And she did an interview with a guy named Chris Strachwitz, and I think you want to hear it. So without further ado, enjoy.
Well, I mean, why don't we start off where you were born?
The 11th of December. An Alabama kid, Montgomery.
What was the year of your birthday? Mind telling us how old you are?
Well, that's a secret.
We'll never find out. What did your folks do? Did any of them play music or sing? Or?
Well, my father, he was a minister. My mother, she's a Christian-hearted working woman. She sang Christian songs. I used to go to church a lot, but just singing, you know, I didn't do too much singing in church.
Did you grow up in the town of Montgomery, or did you?
Well, I left there when I was 14.
Did you leave with your folks, or just take off on your own?
No, I left with a show, the Sammy Green's Hot Harlem Review, out of Atlanta, Georgia.
How did they happen to find you? Did they hear you singing someplace?
Well, I did audition on this show when they was playing a little theater there in the hometown. Well, we went Atlanta, Birmingham, and back home, and Columbus, Georgia, Macon, Georgia, North, South Carolina, Florida. We just toured practically everywhere.
What year was this roughly? Can you tell?
Well, in...
Before the war?
Well, I started before the war. And then after the war broke out, then we went to and through Texas, playing in theaters.
Did they have dancers and comics and all that?
Yeah, dancers, course girls, comedians, singers. Mm-hmm.
How long did you stay with them?
Well, up until 48. That's when I left in Houston. I quit the show in Houston, Texas.
Did you go on your own from then in Houston?
Well, in Houston, I started recording records for Don Robey before I recorded from him, but he came out to the club I was working called the El Dorado Ballroom there on Elgin and Darling to hear me sing. And right then, he wanted me under a contract. But I didn't sign right then.
Who were some of the other people with you there at the time? Was it your band, or did you just play it?
No, I was playing with a group called Smiley. Ike Smalley. He was the band leader there at the El Dorado. That was his band. And then after he left, another band came in, Pluma Davis and his rock. We call them the House Rockers, and they were doing pretty nice.
who were some of the other, singers around town that you remember around 48, around Houston?
Around Houston then? Well, Gate Mouth Brown, he was real hot there. He was on Peacock label. And Roy Brown, he was in town. He was pretty hot around in that length of time. And I got a chance to meet Louis Jordan when he come to town. Big Joe Turner.
Yeah, he used to be a real favorite around Houston, didn't he?
Yeah. Fats Domino, he was working around. That's when he put out this record. They called me the Fat Man. Oh, yeah.
How long did you stay around Houston then?
Well, in 51, I cut this record, Let Your Tears Fall, Baby. And I went to San Antonio, and I worked down there. I worked in San Antonio for a while. And when I came back, I was working around Houston, different little nightclubs. And Johnny Otis, he came to town. That was in 52. So we did an audition on his show that night. When I was working with Gabe Mob Brown, he wanted me to sing with his band. So I did a song with his band, and he liked the way I performed on the stage, so he hired me. So he took me on tour, New York, and that's when I first went to the Apollo Theater in 52.
And did you also go to Los Angeles then?
Well, we left Houston, and we went to Los Angeles, and while I was there, we recorded Hound Dog, but Don Roby put it on the shelf. So we go from Los Angeles, played in California. We played the tour here, Sweets Ballroom, San Francisco, the Fillmore Auditorium. Then we go back to Los Angeles, and then we leave Los Angeles and go back through Houston, Texas, Battle of the Blues with Gabe Mob Brown. Then we leave there, and we goes on through Florida, then on back up on around the East Coast there, coming into New York. It goes into Apollo. That was in June, 52. So the last part of 52, we goes Providence, Rhode Island, all the England states, Boston, Massachusetts, all around up through that. So we leave Providence. That was pretty close to Christmas, and I was supposed to go back. At least I was wanted to go home. Kind of homesick, so I wanted to see the old gang. So I called a train, I leave New York, come back to Houston, and I got there just a little before Christmas. So Don Roby, he put me on a show in his nightclub. And I worked that Christmas and that New Year's out to his club. That was before they tore it down, called the Peacock, the Bronze Peacock. And they tore it down, made the office out of it. Now it's a big office where they cut records. They got a record studio in there where they record. And back in the back, they press their own records. And 1953, that's when I met Johnny Ace. So they sent me to Dayton, Ohio. That's where I joined him there, playing, performed there at the theater there. I forget the name of the theater. But anyway, I was going to the theater, and I just turned the radio on in the car. And the man said, here's a record that's nationwide, Hound Dog by Willie Mae Thornton. I said, that's me. I hadn't heard the record in so long. So when we got to the theater, they was blasting it. You could hear it from the theater, from the loudspeaker on out. Oh, they just playing Hound Dog all over the theater. So I goes up in the operating room. I said, you mind play that again? Because the man held the record so long, I forgot the words myself. So I was up in the so I stood there while he was playing and listening to it. So that evening, I sang it on the show. And everybody went for it. And so Hound Dog just took off like a jet. And right now, I wish I'd get another dog. With cat or something.
When did you finally come back out here again?
Well, before I came out here, I went back into the Apollo Theater in February of 55. And when I came back, I toured around up that part of the country. That's when I ran into Big Maybell, and I was battling the blues. So, well, that tour ended that way, so I drove on back down through Alabama, Georgia, stopping over, seeing friends, because I didn't have anything else to do. So I goes back to Houston. Well, we go on a tour with Gabe Mob Brown. I work around with him during 56, the first part of 56. Around Thanksgiving, I came out here, and I haven't been back.
Did Roby used to book you? Did he have a booking agency?
Yeah, well, Don Roby didn't actually book me. Evelyn Johnson was booking all the Buffalo booking agents.
Oh, I see. That isn't run by Roby, as
much. Well, I don't know whether he had anything to do with it or not, but it's coming out of his office there. Yeah. You know, Peacock, you know, the stabbing.
They call it. His artist. How did you pick up most of your songs? Did you?
Well, Some I wrote myself. Some other people, you know, write, and I sang them. Well, Jerry Lieber, he wrote Hound Dog and I Smell a Rat. Jerry Lieber and Mike Stroll, they wrote that, those two numbers there. Mm-hmm. And they wrote both sides of that record, if I'm not mistaken. Nightmare was on the first Hound Dog. They wrote both sides of that record.
Mm-hmm. Were they from Houston or what?
No, actually, they are, right now they're from New York, but mm-hmm. they were staying in Los Angeles at the time when they...
Oh, I see.
They were, you know, yeah, they were down in Los Angeles. They know Johnny Otis very well, you know.
I see. Who were some of your favorite singers when you were a youngster, you know, when you were just growing up?
Well, I didn't have no favorite singer. I just admired good singing, you know, mm-hmm. but... My favorite blues artists were Muddy Waters and Big Maceo and be surprised, Lowell Fulsom, all the cats, man. I admired them, you know.
Yeah, right.
Roy Brown, I sang all of his songs. Mm-hmm. Of course, I didn't have no hit records, but I was singing everybody else's records. Mm-hmm. Because when I went into the Apollo Theater, you'd be surprised what I went over with, Big. Have Mercy, Mercy Baby by the Dominoes.
Oh, yeah.
Billy Ward the Domino. That time when Clyde McFadden was there with him, you know.
Yeah, I sure remember that. What did your parents think of it when you started singing kind of blues and not church music? Have you ever, you know, seriously thought about, you know, making maybe some records of you know, spirituals and gospels?
I've thought about it a great deal. And I would like very much to do spirituals because I feel that I got the voice. I feel like I got the power. I just feel like I can just do them. I just like in a fine condition. You'd be surprised. Mostly my occupation every morning is turn on my radio, listen to spirituals. I love those spirituals. I love good singing and like the Dixie Hummingbirds, the Soul Stirrers, Mahalia Jackson, the Davis Sisters. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I mean, and the Five Blind Boys of Mississippi. Oh, they just knocked me out, I'm telling you. When I hear good singing, I love it. In fact, I love all good singing. Well, how I got into blues, because I didn't know anyone at the time to do what I wanted to do. In that condition, when you're hungry, you try to make a fast buck to try to stop from being hungry. I would like very much to cut some spirituals. Get me a good group behind me and cut some nice old time records, you know, spiritual records, because I like good singing.
Who else was on that show that you auditioned for when you started? Were there any names that I may recognize?
Yeah, a young man was singing on the show at the time called Billy Wright.
Oh, yeah.
He made a nice hit record.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing real nice on that. He got on Savoy label and he was doing pretty nice on that. I haven't heard from Billy in quite a while.
You don't remember hearing any low-down blues guys around your hometown?
No.
Guys like Muddy Waters, in that style, you didn't have...
Well, and Muddy Waters and Jimmy Reed wasn't... I didn't hear of him until lately here.
Yeah.
Well, Muddy Waters, he was out. He was doing something. And Howlin' Wolf, mm-hmm. they was doing... they was on label.
Yeah. But you didn't hear any local people down there?
No, the only thing I heard local was some spiritual mm-hmm. quartets, and I don't forget the name of that, been so long.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I haven't, you know, I didn't get to you know, hear anything about nothing like that until after I had started singing and was already gone away. And then mm-hmm. and people tell me, say, well, I'm from Montgomery, I'm from Alabama, or, you know, mm-hmm. Tennessee, but I didn't know anything about them, you know, because they came along behind me.
How did you meet up with this fellow, Brad Taylor?
Brad Taylor? He got a record on the shelf. Do you know that Sentimental Reasons thing I used to do? I cut a tape on that, and I don't know what it did. I guess he wore the tape out. He won't release the record. Yeah, I met Brad while I was working in Santa Cruz, San Francisco, around the Bay Area.
Anything you
want to
tell us about? Maybe you want to tell the world about it?
Yeah, I need a job. I need a job. I need help. Help. See, there's so many youngsters jumping up now. They forget about the old timers. Yes. And right now, you'd be surprised that the old timers got more to offer than some of those youngsters. Right. You know, if people will just come out and listen to the old timers, and they'll realize that they can. Old timers are still going. Me, all I just need to break. All I want to do is put something out there that means just let me sit down and just take my time, put some good background behind it, and let me just show the world what I got. That's all I want. Let's go to show you. Now, like you singing on the stage. Now, on the stage, I can perform 40 minutes. And never say the same thing twice. But, see, it just comes to me like that. Yeah. And I can just start to sing it and make a song right on the stage. Mm-hmm. And I think just making up a song on the stage and you get that feeling and got somebody behind you that grew it, it comes out much better anyway. Because to my idea, to like a person write a song, they have given me songs. And I wind up changing that song completely. Because to my idea, it's just like when I made this Summertime. I didn't do it like everybody else do it. I do it different. And the flip side called Truth Come to the Light. The man that wrote that side, he gave me the words and I changed it around completely. Mm-hmm. And Truth Come to the Light, to my idea, it sounded better than Summertime. And this new day, I got an answer to Hound Dog called Tomcat.
Have they put that out?
Well, they released it the day, and I said, save my... you, my love, I can't hide. Keep it here for me.
Big Maybelle. I'm sorry, Big Mama Thornton and the Muddy Waters Blues Band. It's Big Mama's Blues, My Love. That is with the Muddy Waters Blues Band live in 1966. Also got to hear her do an interview with Chris Strachwitz on In Europe. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. I'll be back with an interview that Robert Nighthawk did after this brief public service announcement.
Have you considered yoga as a means to increase your overall health and wellness? Here are a handful of benefits you can achieve while practicing yoga. Strength building, increased flexibility, improved posture, restful sleeping, decreasing physical pain, mental balance and focus, increased circulation and breathing, along with weight and stress management. The art of yoga dates back thousands of years, and the benefits of yoga has proven to increase one's general health and wellness. There are various disciplines of yoga being practiced for free and cost throughout the city in various community centers, private studios, the workplace, health centers, schools, and places of worship. Try anew and improve and maintain your quality of life with the benefits of yoga.
I was born in 1909.
What month?
November the 30th.
And where was that?
In Helena, Arkansas.
Well, when you were very young, did anyone in your family play music?
Well, all of my people played music.
What's the oldest son you know?
Well, about like Blue Before Sunrise, Mean Miss Streeter, Kansas City.
How does Kansas City go?
Well, the Kansas City Blues.
And who made the first record of that?
Jim Jackson. He's out of Memphis.
This style is a lot different than...
Oh, it's not different.
And the slide, the way you play with the slide... can you play a little slide techniques?
Well, I first started back in the 40s with that slide, and most of it was playing then mostly sentimental numbers. So here's a little bit of the song, yeah, heading for the last round of.
Could you play a little blues with the slide? We can see how.
Oh yeah, play quite a few numbers with the slide.
Mm-hmm. And the other style that you play, the faster, more modern style, that's do you usually play with a pick or with your fingers?
Well, some with fingers, some with picks and first one thing. But the number now that's moving now is kind of stuff like BB playing.
Can you play a little more? I've heard older versions of that.
Well, it's been recorded 2 or 3 different.
Do you know any of the other ways to play that song?
No, I never did play it before BB come up with it.
When you were, of all the jobs you've worked, is there one that especially stands out in your mind that something might have happened that was a especially memorable occasion?
Well, one of the worst things ever happened in my life concerned of the band proposition is one of my players got burned up.
What happened? How that happened?
Well, I imagine he'd been up all night and went in sleeping tired, I imagine, and I was caught up on burning him up. That was in 45. Okay. That's something that you'll never forget.
There's been...
And he was originally out of Chicago, born in Chicago, named James Blunt.
James Blunt,
and he wanted to go south with me, and so I take him. That's one of the worst things ever happened. You never get over them things.
I know in the blues there's been a lot of tragedies, like when Sonny Bill Williamson got killed.
Well, that was a player we used to record together, and that was something.
Dutch, can you tell me a little about that?
Well, that was it back, I think, long about 47, because I was broadcasting out of Arkansas at that time, and when I got the news, well, that was just a big shock.
What was the story?
And that's a long story. I never did find out how it happened or what it happened about or what happened.
How was he stabbed or shot? Or?
I think to say he was stabbed.
No one knows why?
No one had come up with anything.
Mm-hmm. Was he very much loved by the other blues singers?
Oh, yeah, everybody liked him.
Who would be about the most, that you can remember, the most popular singer, the guy that everybody really liked?
Well, you take Memphis Slim, I mean, it goes for him, and also Sonny Boy, and Walter Davis, Roosevelt Sack. You take them guys, regular guys, Leroy Carr, people went for them.
Well, Leroy Carr was a pretty...
He was a real piano player, that's right.
When he died, I recall someone, they were making records, you know, memorial records to him.
That's right.
Did you, were you familiar with, were you friends with him, or?
Well, I just know him. I didn't know too much about him, but I met him.
Mm-hmm. Robert, you've been playing the blues all your life. What does it mean to you? I mean, what do you feel about the music? And
well, I think, what I really think about it, I think blues will never die. It'll always been the blues, and it always will be. You always come up with something else, but when it wind up, you'll wind up with the blues every time.
Why is that?
It's just something that you just can't get rid of.
You feel it?
You just can't get rid of it.
Is there any particular song that means a tremendous, a lot to you?
Well, not in no particular number.
Do you think that the blues has changed a lot since?
Oh, it's a lot of change in them. They changed them, but it's still the blues.
Do you think the old style blues will still remain?
They're coming back. We used to record a lot of old numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The old numbers, I mean, it's more demeaning to the older numbers than the newer nowadays.
What do you mean? I mean, how is that?
Well, there's something about them old numbers, and it got that feeling there. But that's why it first started, and so it's just the best.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that, I know a lot of blues singers don't play any religious songs. Do you ever?
I never did go for it, I mean. Mm-hmm. I never like to try to work for two different men.
Mm.
I'm already working for the devil, so I'll finally change, maybe.
Well, listen, what you think that you know the rest of your life you're going to be playing blues?
I don't think I'll be playing. I don't think so. But I've been in a long time, and got kids now coming on playing, and so I'm just, you know, trying to get out of it. I mean, I'll finally get out of it.
Robert, where are you working now?
Well, different clubs now, like Pepper's and Turner's Place on 40th Street, Pepper's on 43rd, and 43rd and Wentworth. And we take in a Sunday over on Maxwell Street.
Why do you play on Maxwell Street?
Well, that way, of course, fact about it, everybody's been playing around over there for years and years. Moved all music, moved their start right off from Maxwell Street, and so he'll wind up going back there. He meets a lot of musicians and gets a lot of jobs from Maxwell Street.
Who are some of the guys that you play with down there?
Well, now we've got Big John, he's harmonica blower, and Big Walter, he plays with me. And Jimmy Collins, drummer, he plays. We go down on Maxwell Street, and then from there to other different clubs and things.
Do you enjoy playing on the street more than a club?
Not exactly, but you have more fun anyway on the street, look like.
How?
Well, there's so many different things. You can see so many different things going on.
There's some great dancing out there, I'll tell you that.
There's a lot of it. So that, I don't know, I get a kick out of it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. When you're playing out there on the street, on the Sunday, do you have sort of more relaxation, more room to work?
Well, that's right. That's one thing you have, plenty of room.
Yeah, I mean, do you play the same material that you play in the clubs?
Not exactly.
What's different?
Well, when you're in the street like that, most of the people, they got certain numbers they want to hear, and you get in a club, well, you mostly have to play what comes to you, whatever you... Because very few people ask you to play anything in the club. They're mostly satisfied with anything you play.
Mm-hmm.
But in the street, the people want certain numbers.
Well, old ones?
And some old and some new ones.
I guess I know when I was out there, people seem to enjoy it more in the street than they...
That's right.
Do you think that eventually, you know, when Maxwell Street's ripped down, do you think they'll be playing somewhere else?
Well, they might find something else, might come up with something else.
Do they play anywhere else in the street in Chicago?
Not as I know.
Do they used to?
Not as I know.
Just on Maxwell Street?
That's the only place they ever know to play on the street.
I've heard stories that guys like Little Walter, you know, they got started out there.
Right on Maxwell Street. That's right.
Do you have sort of any idea why this street was the place that...
Well, that's a long story. I've never found out why. They always played on Maxwell Street.
Mm-hmm. When did you first come down on the street and start playing?
In 40.
And you haven't played since just recently?
Lately I went back to Maxwell Street.
Mm-hmm. Why did you just start coming back again?
Well, just looking up different players and different jobs.
Mm-hmm. Robert, the last thing I want to ask you is, do you ever sort of get a yearning to see your old friends again? The guys like Sleepy John
and
Yang?
Well, that's right. I always, you know, well, say I was in Florida. When I come out of Florida, I come back to run in on Elmo James and find out he was dead. So this one of them numbers. There's different guys you think about and you want to see them, you go back to see them.
Is there any ones in particular that you're really interested in seeing again?
Well, I visited Muddy Water and Earl Hooker. I mean, regular players and Brooks and his band, Johnny and his band. Mm-hmm. There's different band guys I know. I go around to see them. They come to see me.
Could you just play one more song for us and sing a little? Anything you'd like?
Well, I'll kind of hit just a little bit of one of Ray Charles' numbers. What I said. What did I say?
Just before we go, could you sing a little of that, one of my favorite songs, that Hold That Train, Conductor. Could you sing a little of that?
Well, I don't know about that one now. Voice a little bit out of shape there. But I'll give you a little bit of the old Kansas City. I think you'd like that there.
Very much.
Up
this morning feeling bad, thinking about the good time that I once have had. I'm gonna move to Kansas City. I'm gonna move to Kansas City, mama. Honey, why they don't lie you? It's T for Texas, T for Tennessee. Old Weaver's got Mississippi, and the women wants me.
Robert Nighthawk. Honey Hush was from Live on Maxwell Street, 1964, and you heard an interview done from that same show. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. I'll be back with another interview after these brief public service announcements.
Greetings. This is Brandy, your urban farmer and holistic health educator. Here's a tip for picking healthy produce. The Clean 15 is a list of produce low in pesticides. Avocados, cabbage, onions, asparagus, cauliflower, pineapples, frozen sweet peas, papaya, mangoes, honeydew, kiwi, cantaloupe, eggplant, and grapefruits. The Dirty Dozen, a list of produce high in pesticide residue. Strawberries, spinach, apples, peaches, pears, cherries, grapes, celery, tomatoes, sweet bell pepper, potatoes, and nectarines. If you must have, buy organic. For more tips and information, log on to BrandyMac.com. I am Brandy, your urban farmer and holistic health educator. Don't do the Dirty Dozen, but be fresh and so clean with the Clean 15.
San Francisco. Every first Saturday of the month, Rafiki Coalition is throwing a community health party offering services for the entire family, like massages, chiropractic and acupuncture sessions, fitness classes, and a delicious lunch will be served. The Rafiki Coalition Community Health Party will be located at 601 Cesar Chavez Street from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. For more information, log on to RafikiCoalition.org or call 415-615-9945. That's 415-615-9945. Once again, the Rafiki Coalition Community Health Party is held every first Saturday of the month. Come ready to move for a great time full of fun, health, and wellness.
Ready to make a difference? Volunteer with Felton Institute's Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program. Make a real impact by visiting residents of nursing homes and assisted living facilities. Advocate for their rights, address concerns, and contribute to improving their quality of care. To learn more, visit felton.org/ombudsman or call 415-751-9788. That's 415-751-9788. Be the voice for those who need it most.
KPOO, San Francisco.
I was born in West Point, Mississippi. Actually, Prairie. Same place that Howlin' Wolf was born. It's like the suburbs of West Point. My dad swear I went to the end of the cotton field at 5 years old and say, "It's too hot, you got to get me out of here." So I think they got me out by 7. I was holding amateur hour in the backyard with my mother's sheets, standing on boxes, for the stage. I had curtains, and everybody come sing. So I didn't like to play jump rope. All I wanted to do was sing and rock people's babies. I love children.
Were you singing gospel music back then?
As long as my mother was seeing me, I did. But when she turned her back, I get a quarter for singing, blues tunes from people when she'd go to work and stuff like that. I heard the blues. I heard the DIA, WDA, that was a big, big, big thing. And I could sneak and listen to it because they didn't line no blues playing around my house. everything had to be gospel, but I don't care what mama don't lie, we listen to the blues anyhow. I was singing Tennessee Ernie too, everybody. I started with gospel. I was hearing the blues, but I didn't know I was appreciating the blues. And when I started singing, I started with R&B, gospel R&B, and it was a little while before I came back to the blues. So I'd heard Junior Wells and Detroit and all them guys in. Then I went off and then I started singing, like Gladys Knight, Aretha Franklin, Motown. And then, living in Chicago, you eventually come back to the blues because it is definitely a blues city, a stronghold. And a lot of people I know now that I see working the clubs or traveling, they weren't blues people. It was another way to work regular. You used to be able to work. Because doing R&B, when it got tight, we would rehearse a whole month to work one job. And I traveled with a couple of trunks of clothes and didn't make enough money to clean one outfit. So when they told me I could go to Europe, if I sing the blues, I start, "I'm going to get up in the morning. I believe I'll dust my room." Now I do appreciate it because I know about these people too. I made it my business to learn my heritage about the blues, going all the way back to the early 1900s and before, so I don't think you can sing this music unless you have respect for it. It's something special about it, It tells a lot of stories if you listen close.
When did you become aware of Chicago's blues scene and become part of it?
Well, I wasn't part of it. I was aware of it when I left choir rehearsal. I had to walk. I finally figured out what happened. I had to go past Teresa's home. You know, the church is at 51st Street. She's at 48th Street. I was walking home, and I kept hearing them singing these blues. Oh, Junior Wells and Lefty Diz and Buddy Guy and A.C. Reed. And I used to see Bonnie Ray hanging around there, you know, everybody. I even saw Bob Kester around there. Now, he didn't pay me no mind, no. I was just a little old young chicken. He was interested in good blues, man. I made my first record with Horace Lipton and Jump Jackson. He had me even singing ballads and jazz, stuff like that. So I've covered the waterfront as far as types of songs. I think Carrie Bell was on it, and Sonnyland Slim, as was my first 45 with Sonnyland Slim. That wasn't at the same time. This was later. But we still had some of that same cast, along with Eddie Taylor. So I had some stronghold blues men. I was proud of that. But I'm still hanging in. You know, I came out kicking, so I'm going down.
The table
is your appetite. And always talking smack. Yakety yak.
Young and Toxic, also The Interview She Did. Both of those can be found on Toe Up from the Flow Up. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. Mr. Ford's in the house to pleasure your ear hole. I need to leave you with a little bit of Latin. This is from Cuba. It's Orquesta La Moderna Tradición, as a local group, and this is Cuerdas de Amor from Danzonemos. Until next week, my friends, ta-ta and toodly-doo.